Are you learning this song? Okay, so what I noticed is the human will is very strong, and people have forgotten the way they were taught by the good sisters. When Veni Creator Spiritus begins, like I said, this is our life. All talk should stop. I shouldn't be saying shh. I shouldn't be saying shh. I shouldn't be saying shh. It should be instantaneously. Nothing matters but the Holy Spirit coming upon us. The good sisters taught us this. And what's happened is people are still, even in the divine will, wanting their human will to be in charge. It's very, very important when we are praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if we're still talking, that says directly to Jesus, I don't care about this. My words are more important than prayer. See, it's we have to get back to being what is Catholic, the universal life. And that's what the good sisters taught us years and years ago. But since there's been really no teaching for the last 40 years, a lot of people have forgotten that, thinking that their voice is more important than prayer. So again, we have to become saints. What does St. Teresa say? If Jesus Christ appeared to her and the bell rang for prayer, she went to prayer. Because she says, I never know whether that is really Jesus appearing to me or not. Again, it's the same thing. Once we hear the beginning of prayer, we should stop what we're doing and pray. That's why the Angelus isn't prayed anymore. That's why morning, evening prayer isn't prayed anymore. Because what's more important is your own words. This is more important than prayer. So again, we have to learn that what the good sisters taught us years ago, and that is, when we start praying, everything should stop. The Angelus, the prayer, the rosary, the prayer, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, prayer, the rosary of the little rosary of the divine will, prayer. It has to become our life. Rather than TV, rather than newspapers, rather than magazine, rather than our own voices, our own thoughts. And you see, God wants to strip us from that. Again, this Lenten season has to continue. Why? We're preparing for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is only going to come to those that have been prepared. You look what happened with the first Pentecost. They were with Mary in prayer in the cenacle, praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's the same thing. If we're praying with Jesus and Mary for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit through Louisa, great things are going to happen. Remember, it was only 120 people. Oh, no, excuse me, less than that. It was 120 when Jesus ascended into heaven. There were few people that were praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But look what happened that day. 3,000 were converted. So great things are coming. And I think what we have to do is we have to recognize that we have to be attentive. We have to be attentive. So, on volume 16, December 4th, 1923, my daughter Louisa, you, Louisa, are always my newborn of my holy divine will. And then you, Louisa, are wrong. You, Louisa, want me to speak about my holy divine will, and you, Louisa, want to make me make it known. And the one who has to be the channel, the spokesman, the instrument, is to make it known that it should not exist. So here Louisa is saying, Jesus, you tell everybody. Jesus says, it's not going to work that way. You're going to be the one to be the instrument. If this thing were to remain between me and you, Louisa, maybe it could work. But since I, Jesus, want my holy divine will to have its kingdom, and the kingdom cannot be formed only with one person, but with many people of different conditions, it is therefore necessary that not only my holy divine will, but the goods the divine will contains, the ability of those who will want to live in this kingdom, the good, the happiness, and the order, the harmony, which everyone will possess, be known, but also the one, Louisa, whom my goodness has chosen as the origin and the beginning of such a great good. So he says, not only is this going to be known, but you, Louisa, have to be known. Again, she is the one whom God's goodness has chosen as the origin and the beginning of such a great good for all of mankind. Volume 16, December 6, 1923. At other times, it seemed to me that Jesus would take my soul in his hands, and Jesus would throw it into the flight, in flight into the immensity of his holy divine will, telling me, the newborn of my holy divine will, you, Louisa, were born in my holy divine will. And in the divine will, do I, Jesus, want you, Louisa, to live? fly in the eternal volition. Fulfill your office. See what needs to be done between the divinity and the creatures. Go, you, Louisa, go around to all generations, but always in my holy divine will. Otherwise, you, Louisa, will not find all souls. So here, Jesus is saying, the newborn, born in the divine will, I, God, want you to live, to fly in the divine will. I want your office to be, I want everyone to know what's the difference between divinity and humanity. I want you, Louisa, to go to all generations. I want you, Louisa, to find every soul. Remember, Jesus said to Louisa that you are the little bell that I will ring continuously until everyone enters into the kingdom. That's what's coming. This God is going to be doing this. And work, loving, working, repairing, adoring for everyone, you, Louisa, will go before the Supreme Majesty. You, Louisa, will give the divine will all the love and all the homages of every soul, past, present, and future, of each soul, past, present, and future, you as the first newborn daughter of our holy divine will. Again, this is astonishing. This has not been seen since Adam. This has not been seen since Jesus and Mary were on earth. What's been on earth since Jesus and Mary has been saints. Good, holy, beautiful saints. Wonderful saints. God says, now I want my children to share in my divinity. This is, again, unbelievable what's happened. And this is why the Vatican is so astonished by this great gift of the divine will. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? This is what the Vatican is saying. Who is she that now this has happened? In the third millennium, she's being revealed to the world. Volume 16, January 4th, 1924. But do you know who was the first one to cry together with me? Non mihi voluntatis sed tua fiat. It was my little newborn of my holy divine will, Luisa Picaretta. My little daughter Luisa, who felt such repugnance and fright for her human will as to cling to me, and trembling, Luisa cried out with me, Father, if it is possible, let this chalice pass for me. And crying, she added with me, Non mei voluntas sed tua fiat. And yes, you, Luisa, were together with me in that first contract with my celestial Father, because at least one soul, one creature, was needed in order to validate this contract. So he says, Luisa was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what he says. See, and again, we have to remember, the divine will, there's no time or space with the divine will. In reality, in the divine will, we are living right now, outside of time, outside of eternity. We are living the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. The only thing that is needed is to get through this time to see where we are now living. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us. He says, this table is not as real as eternity, because this table will turn to dust, he says. What our God wants us to do is to begin to understand that if we are looking with our human intellect, we won't understand what's going on. We have to see this from a divine perspective. We are living right now in eternity the preternatural life. That's where we are. And what God is asking us to do is to begin to live this now with Luisa. To begin to live this life, recognizing that truth. Just to give you an example, God wants to answer our prayers. Last year, I asked the Lord, I need some dirt, so I bought 40 tons of dirt. And I shoveled that dirt all summer long. You know, wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow. This year I said to the Lord, I need dirt, but I can't shovel it anymore. And a guy knocked on the door a week later and said, do you need some dirt? I said, yeah. He says, you mind if I put it over there? I said, please do. He brought 400 tons of dirt with a tractor and plowed it. I didn't have to shovel an ounce. But see, that's what God does. God wants to, he has got such great things planned that all we have to do is just say to the Lord, I need this in your holy divine will. Let it be done as you say, and God does it. Remember I told you last time, this nun that I know, she talked about how God says he wants to use her, basically, to bring the kingdom. And she says how her negatives, you look at the negatives in my life, look at the negatives in the world, look at the negatives in the government, look at the negatives in my church. And Jesus said, stop. And then he raised his right arm and he came down like this. He says, what do you see now? And she says, all the negatives are positive. And Jesus said, watch. And he just pushed her back slightly, just says, stand back. And then he took each negative, which is turned into a positive, that plus sign became a cross that he stuck into the ground. And he says, here is where I'll build my kingdom. And here is where I'll build my kingdom. And here is where I'll build my kingdom. In the negatives in your life, in the negatives of your family, in the negatives of the government, in the negatives of the church, I will bring the kingdom of God, because I am going to do this. And he said, just get out of my way. Let me be the Lord. That's the divine will. That's God. And that's what's going to happen. Look at the negatives in your life. Our job is to recognize them and to say to the Lord, I claim this for you, Lord. Let it be done. And again, that's the repair, the renewal. It's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Everything's going to be repaired. God's going to do it. But we have to get out of the way. That's what I was talking about. When you hear the music, with your words, you're still in the way. You haven't surrendered yet. As soon as you hear the music, it should be, let's pray. Lord, let your will be done. You know, our job is to let God reign. So he says, at least one creature was needed in order to validate this contract. That's Louisa Picaretta. She was there with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can be there in the garden. When you do the hours of the Passion, you can be actually with Jesus. When you do the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, which you should be doing during this May season, you are with Our Lady and Jesus. You're with them. There's no time or space in the divine will. And if you let yourself be there, you can be with Jesus and Mary. You don't have to think about it as a pious thought. It becomes a reality. That's what God wants. So he gave it to Louisa, and if we are linked to Louisa, we also possess this. So she said, he says, otherwise, to whom should I give this to? Whom shall I entrust it to? In order to render the custody of the contract safer, I, Jesus, gave you, Louisa, all the fruits of my passion as gift, lining them up around you, Louisa, like a formidable army which, while forming the royal court of my holy divine will, wages a fierce war against your human will. That's what's happening with us. God is waging a war against our human will. If we are linked with Louisa. If we're not linked with Louisa, then we're going to have to go through... We can't have the gift. If Louisa is not there, we do not have the gift. We have to be linked to Louisa. Jesus, when he looks at us, he has to see the divine will in us that Louisa possesses. Volume 16, February 20th, 1924. Just as there are sayings and teachings on living resigned, patient, obedient, etc., there would have been this as well. It would have been really funny and strange if I, Jesus, had kept hidden the thing which I love the most. Rather, the more one loves something, the more he wants to make it known. The more delight and glory a way of living brings me, the more I, Jesus, want to diffuse it. So he says, there are many teachings on living resigned. That's what the saints told us. There are many teachings on being patient. There are many teachings on being obedient. But Jesus says, I want more. That's what he wants to give us. He wants to give us more. He says, it is not the nature of true love to hide what can make others happy and rich. If you, Louisa, know how I, Jesus, long for this, of the time of the coming to light of my little newborn, of my holy divine will, okay, how I, God, long for this time of the coming to light of Louisa. That's what St. Padre Pio says. Jesus is going to prove to the world who Louisa is. How's he going to do it? By the souls linked to Louisa. It's we, like these little prayer cards. These relic cards are very, very, very important. Right now, there are two, I think, miracles for Blessed John Paul II. I think there's two miracles for Blessed Mother Teresa. Wait till you see what's going to happen when Louisa's name venerable. It's not going to be two miracles. It's going to become miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Many miracles, thousands of miracles, maybe even millions of miracles are going to happen because of Louisa. See, what's bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Once the church says she's venerable, watch what's going to happen. What is it going to take to make every Muslim say, I am not going to follow Muhammad, I am going to follow Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother? This is a great miracle that's coming. What is it going to take to make every Hindu and Buddhist and Protestant and every Jew say, I want the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary? The great miracle is Louisa. So these little relic cards that you have, start today. Call on Louisa. Pray to Louisa. Go to Louisa. Plead with Louisa. Beg Louisa. Watch what God is going to do. If you really believe what Jesus is saying, there should be no stopping you to calling on a Louisa. If somebody's sick, touch them with a relic of Louisa. If there's a priest around, say, Father, please anoint this person and touch them with a relic of Louisa. Watch what God is going to do. It's going to be unbelievable. He says, I, Jesus, long for this time of the coming to the light of my little newborn, Louisa Picaretta, to make you, Louisa Picaretta, live in my holy divine will. Now, he waited 6,000 years for this. What a court of grace I, Jesus, prepared in order to obtain the intent. You, Louisa, would remain stunned, and you, Louisa, would be more grateful and attentive to me. And it's the same thing for us. If we understood why Jesus says, Louisa, you are the redemptrix of my fiat. Our Lady is the co-redemptrix of redemption. He says to Louisa, you are the redemptrix of sanctification, which means without you, Louisa, there is no sanctification for mankind. So all the Pentecostals, all the charismatics are praying for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we sing, Vene Creator Spiritus. It is the spirit of Louisa that God breathed into Louisa to begin again this abundant life that's coming to the earth. I can't wait until the Pope says Louisa is venerable. Because at that point, the writings are given to the world. And everyone will be reading. Right now, for some strange reason, we are like the shepherds of Bethlehem. We are like the wise men of Bethlehem. Very few knew about the birth of Christ. We are like the apostles at the Last Supper. Very few people knew about the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We are like Our Lady and the disciples waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the first Pentecost. We are like the 120 who watched Jesus ascend into heaven. There's not many at this point who know Louisa. Why? Because what is precious to God, He keeps hidden. That's why nobody knows Our Lady. Who's wearing the scapular in your family? Who's praying the rosary in your family? Very few. Why? Because what God loves, He keeps hidden. Every Catholic Church has the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Where are the people? It's hidden. Those churches that have adoration, Blessed Sacrament, where you can look at God and worship God in the Most Blessed Sacrament, in the exposition of the Most Holy Eucharist. Where are the people? It's hidden. What God loves, He keeps hidden. Here is this greatest gift, the divine will. How come nobody knows about it? Because it's hidden. What God loves, He does not want to give to the whole world. It's what He says. I will talk to you in parables so that you will not embrace it and change. Why? Because you'll ridicule it. You'll mock it. You'll laugh at it. So God gives this to those that want it. That's us, hopefully, that we make this our life. Hopefully. It's very, very clear. If we understand Louisa, we will remain stunned. And we will be more grateful and attentive to Jesus because of Louisa. It'll be Jesus and Mary because of Louisa. Volume 18, January 24th, 1926. My beloved Jesus told me many times that I, Louisa, was the little newborn of the Holy Divine Will, just newly born, without having formed my little life in a supreme volition. And now that I, Louisa, am most in need, in order to form my growth, Jesus leaves me alone, so that I will be like an aborted birth of the Divine Will, without having existence. Don't you see, then, my love, what a pitiful state I find myself, and how your very designs upon me are reduced to nothing? Oh, please, if you do not want to have pity on me, have pity on yourself, on your designs, on your works, which you have made for my poor soul. Okay, so here, what this means is, Louisa, her life was Jesus. She lived that life. I mean, this is not a vision. This is not an apparition. This is not a locution which the saints possessed. Louisa, her life was Jesus Christ. She was in that almost like that, if you want to say, the beatific vision. So when she didn't see Jesus, she says, I'm living dead. I don't see you. I don't hear you. I don't experience you. I am dead. I don't have any life. And this is what Jesus says. He says, well, my poor mind wandered to go further into the sorrowful state I was in. Behold, my good came out from within my interior. That's where Jesus lives, in the interior of Louisa. And looking at me thoroughly from head to foot, he told me, my daughter, in my most holy divine will, Louisa, there is neither deaths nor abortions. One who lives in the divine will contains as life the life of my holy divine will. And even if she feels herself dying or even dead, she is in my will, which containing divine life makes her rise again in every instant into new divine light, into new divine beauty, into new divine grace, new divine happiness, and delighting and preserving her always within a little within herself, so as to have her great within itself. Okay, so Jesus says, you are nothing, but I am everything in you. Little but strong. And that's what we say, Lord, I am tiny, but you are great. I am a sinner, but you are holy. Again, it's always focusing on God, not on our misery, but on God. You are little, but you are beautiful. You are newly born so that she might have nothing human, but everything divine. See, volume one is a very hard volume to read, because what God does is he crushes Louisa. It's that clay that God, he reforms Louisa. Why? To start the human generations over again. To begin where Adam left off. To have that preternatural life. That's what God did with Louisa. It's not human, but it's being transformed into divine. What do we as Catholics pray? Every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, filled with wine. We are that drop of water. We are that nothing. Lord, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and vinegar. It becomes wine. And when you put a drop of water in a glass of wine, it fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. That's what's happening. No longer human, but sharing in divinity. That's what happened with Louisa. And that's going to happen to all the children of Louisa. Remember what Jesus said. He said that he wants us so linked to Louisa that we have an unsevered umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa. Where do we get our life, this divine life of Jesus and Mary? It's through Louisa. But Jesus says it must be unsevered. You can't do this on your own. You have to get your nourishment from Jesus and Mary through Louisa to us. That's what it means to be linked to Louisa. If we're not linked to Louisa, again, the divine will is nowhere to be found in us. Well, we could talk about it and say, oh, I'm living in the divine will, but it's not there. Louisa has to be there. You have to have the DNA, if you want to say, of Louisa. So Jesus says, so Louisa's life in my holy divine will alone, Louisa's life is my holy divine will alone, which will carry out all the designs without dispersing anything. You, Louisa, will be like the drop of water submerged within the great sea. Again, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Like the grain of wheat amidst the great masses of grains. As much as the drop of water seems as though dispersed within the ocean, the sea, just as the grain amidst the innumerable grains, no one can deny or no one can take away from them the right that their life exists. Therefore, Louisa, do not fear. Make it so that you, Louisa, lose your life in order to acquire the right to have my holy divine will alone as life. And it's the same thing for us. Those that save their life will lose it. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Now, what does it mean to lose your life? Well, that's found in volume 11, right at the very beginning of volume 11, March 8th and March 13th. Jesus calls it the baptism of fire. That means from once you desire to live in the divine will, you never want to do your human will again. You want only the holy divine will to reign in you. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will, walk in my walking. Come, divine will, eat in my eating. You see how important this is. So the word, like getting back to when the music starts, the word has to be Jesus, not our word. Jesus says those that talk a lot show very clearly they have little inside. Why? Because God isn't there. It's their talk, their word. That's why, the good sisters teach us way back when? When you go into church, you're silent. Why? You want to hear the word of God speaking to you in silence. Now, what's the devil do? Have noise. Have fellowship. Forget the silence. No, it's to let the word of God resonate in us in silence. That's why if you're not spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, again, you got a lot of noise around you. The Holy Father just talked about this, how he says we have to get back into silence. Again, it's very, very, very important that the Lord reign. We have to spend... If you could do this, your whole life will change. An hour of silence every day, minimum, with the Lord. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the music, turn off your books. Be alone with God in silence. God speak. Jesus is the Word of God. He is speaking to us constantly. Who hears Him? Only those that are silent. When we stand before the Lord, He's going to say, I, as the Word, have spoken to you from the moment of your conception. How much have you heard? And that's why the devil wants noise, wants music, wants television, wants radio, wants sports. I mean, Sunday is not a day of cheering God, it's cheering sports. We got to keep holy the Sabbath. Sunday has to become a day of a true adoration of God. Again, the Lenten season continues. I want to give up what I want to do on Sunday. I want God to reign. I want to keep holy the Sabbath. I'm not going to shop. I'm not going to do sports. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to do anything that I want to do. Why? Because the Sabbath is the Lord's day. I wait on Him. I'm silent with Him. Now, if we make Sunday, the Sabbath, a regular day, we're really going away from that Catholic life, that universal life that Adam lived. He knew on the seventh day God rested, so he had to rest. To be one with God. He knew it. So what does Christ do? He comes to the earth 2,000 years ago to start this universal life again, this Catholic life again. And the main focus is keep holy the Sabbath. You look at the commandments. Everything is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But except for keep holy the Sabbath, there's a whole paragraph of how important this is. And if we keep holy the Sabbath, your families will be blessed. There's no question. If you don't keep holy the Sabbath, your families fall apart. There's no way. And you can look back on your own life. When did your family start falling apart? When you started doing things on Sunday. When you went shopping. When you basically let the kids go to sports. When you went to work. You got to keep holy the Sabbath. It's very, very important. That's the Catholic life. Well, I'm not going to cook. I'm going to go out to dinner. Well, then you're making somebody else work. Why do we have Saturday night mass? Saturday night mass was for one reason, and that's for the doctors, the nurses, the firemen, and the policemen who had to work on Sunday. So if you say, well, I'm going to go to Saturday mass so I can have Sunday off, that's not keeping holy the Sabbath. I'm sorry. It's not to take Sunday off to do what I want. Keep holy the Sabbath is key. Again, it means to be Catholic. It means to focus on God. It's His day. It's the Lord's day. It's not our day. And if we steal it from Him, again, your family falls apart. There's nothing else I can say. Your family can't stay together. Volume 18, February 18th, 1926. It is right that the little newborn by my supreme volition, Luisa Picaretta, take part in the Beatitudes, Divine Joys, Divine Happinesses of she, this is the womb of God, who delivered Luisa into the light. To the light. Again, we're getting a glimpse of how much our Lord loves us. Who delivered Luisa? God. Who delivered Adam? God. Do you understand why she's the newborn? All these little flames that you, Luisa, see in the endless sea of my holy divine will are the symbol of the secret beatitudes, the secret joys, the secret happinesses which the divine will contains. I, Jesus, say that these secrets, because since I, God, have not yet manifested the fullness of the knowledge to which my holy divine will contains, nor there are there the right dispositions in creatures in order to manifest them, all these beatitudes remain ad intra, inside the divinity, as we, triune God, are waiting to put them out for the one, Luisa, who would be born. The one, Luisa, to live and to carry out her life in our holy divine will with no interruption, because Luisa will be being one with ours. All the divine doors are open and our most intimate secrets revealed. The divine joys, the divine beatitudes are placed in common as much as it is possible for a creature, as much as she is capable of. You see, Luisa, my daughter Luisa, each manifestation that I, Jesus, make to you, Luisa, about my holy divine will is a beatitude released from the womb of the divinity, which not only makes you, Luisa, happy and disposes you, Luisa, to live in my most holy divine will, but prepares you, Luisa, for more new knowledges. Again, this is astonishing. We're not talking about the Mother of God. Our Lady lived in the divine will. We're not talking about the Son of God. Jesus lived in the divine will. We're talking about a human who basically begins again where Adam left off. Another human. See, it's not the job of Jesus or Mary to bring sanctification. It's their job. Mankind fell from such a height. Adam fell from such a height that it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to redeem, co-redeem, to pull man out of the well that he fell in, broken and bleeding at the bottom of the well. That's what Jesus tells Luisa. But the parents aren't happy yet. The child is still broken and bleeding. Until the child is sanctified, he says, then God will be happy. Jesus and Mary will be happy. And that's what's happened. For the last 2,000 years, we've been being repaired. How? By the dogma and doctrine of our faith. By following the teaching of the church. And the last miracle that was given to the church was Humani Vitae in 1968. What it means to be fully human. That's what Humani Vitae is about. This is what it means to be fully human. And the world, the church, members in the church rejected it. If we had embraced in 1968 Humani Vitae, we would be living in the divine will fully right now. Because how can you have the divine life if you don't know what human life is? Again, that contraceptive mentality has been given to the world, and the Catholics have embraced it, where 98% of women practice birth control. How sad. That means 98% of the women cannot embrace the divine will. Why is this a secret? Because God has to give it to those that are open to life, that are open to love, that are open to the light of God. And if they have said no to life, with a contraceptive mentality, God can't give him any more. God says, fine. This is where you stay. So what does the 54% of Catholics do? They voted for this president who said, I will abort more babies. So that means that those people that voted for this president are culpable for all the abortions. And when they stand before God, God is going to say, you voted for these children to die. You voted for these children to die. What is your penance now? What is going to be your... How can you repair for this? Again, Jesus says, Scripture says, thou shalt not kill. No murderer is allowed into the kingdom. We have to understand, God is asking us to embrace... If we embraced Humani Vitae, the divine will would be here. It would be established. But what's happened is people have fought God, fought against life. Jesus says, my Father is the Father of the living, not the dead. The devil is the father of the dead. And so what we have to do is we have to get back on the right track. We really have to. And we do this by repairing, redoing. So God is going to teach us to be dispose ourselves to Louisa in order to live more in the divine will, to prepare ourselves for new knowledges of the divine will. So as you read these truths in the divine will, you begin to live a more peaceful, a more joyful, a more happy life. You begin to live heaven on earth. Jesus wants to fill us with divinity. He doesn't want us to just be good and holy and saintly. He wants us to share in his divinity. So Jesus says that not only this, but all of heaven remains inundated by that new beatitude, Louisa. This is one of her titles, which has come out of our womb. Who's the new beatitude? Louisa Picaretta. I remember when we were in Israel, we met the Pope, the bishop in Israel. And he's not called the bishop, he's called your beatitude. And I told everybody in the prayer group that was with us, when you meet the archbishop, don't say bishop, say your beatitude. So he comes into the room and I go, hi, bishop. But who's the new beatitude of the womb of God? It's Louisa Picaretta. This is one of her titles. Oh, how grateful they are to you, Louisa. And how they pray that I, Jesus, continue the manifestations of my holy divine will. These beatitudes were closed into ourselves by the human will. Once Adam said no, there was no more beatitudes. It was hidden in God. And each act of the human will is a lock to the celestial beatitudes, not only in time but also in eternity. Because each act of my holy divine will done on earth sows in the soul the seed of that beatitude, which he will enjoy in heaven. Without the seed, it is useless to hope for the plant. Therefore, deeper and deeper do I, Jesus, want you, Louisa, in my most holy divine will. My daughter, little newborn of my holy divine will, you must know that the one, Louisa, who is born in my holy divine will, can also be a mother by giving birth to many children for my supreme volition. In order to be mother, it is necessary to have sufficient matter in one's own interior, so as to be able to form with one's own blood, with one's own flesh, and with continuous nourishment, the birth which one wants to give to the light. If there is no seed and not enough matter, it is useless to hope to become a mother. Now, since you, Louisa, have been born in my most holy divine will, in you, Louisa, there is the seed of fecundity, which there is also the full sufficient matter of all the manifestations I, Jesus, have made to you, Louisa, on my holy divine will. It can be said that each knowledge I, Jesus, have given you, Louisa, can give birth to a child for my holy divine will. Your continuous acts of my divine will were our abundant nourishment in order to first form these children of heaven within yourself. Okay, that's what's happening with us. And then deliver them as triumph, honor, and glory, and the crown of my holy divine will, and as the perennial joy of the mother who delivers them. See then what each additional manifestation means. It means one more birth that my holy divine will delivers. It is a divine life that goes out for the good of souls. It is to debilitate the strength of the human will in order to establish in it the fortress of the divine will. How attentive then you, Louisa, must be not to disperse anything, but even from the smallest manifestation that I, Jesus, make to you, because you, Louisa, would deprive me of the honor of having one more child, which can narrate to all one more good about my holy divine will in order to give it to souls, past, present, and future, that the souls, that's us, might love the divine will more and let themselves be subdued by the power of my supreme volition. Okay, so we'll end there. And then we're going to have Mass. We're going to have Rosary and Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.